I was going to say Isaiah, but that's not. Romans 4, 1-25. Abraham justified by faith. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, but justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. In this blessedness, only for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised, we have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised, or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith, while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be a heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by the law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, and gave God the glory, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom he was credited righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Amen.
Thank you, Johan.
Let's pray.
Father, I thank you and praise you for this word that you placed on my heart to share this morning, Lord. As we think about faith, I pray that, Lord, you would open our hearts to receive from you. Lord, that we wouldn't just listen and say that was nice, but actually apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm entitled this morning, Justified by Faith. We read from Romans 4, verses 1-25. Now, as we continue our journey into the book of Romans, I want us this morning to actually think about faith. I mean, what is faith? Well, it's easy to go to the book of Hebrews, or the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 11, verse 1, and say that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. But, you know, we can quote that and still not know what it means. We can say, but what does it mean? I love the story of how during the terrible days of the Blitz, World War II, a father holding his small boy, his small son by the hand, ran to the building that had been struck by a bomb. In the front yard was a shell hole, and seeking shelter as quickly as possible, the father jumped into the hole and held up his arms for his son to follow. Terrified, yet hearing his father's voice telling him to jump, the boy replied, "I can't see you." The father, looking up against the sky, tinted red by the burning buildings, called to the silhouette of his son, "But I can see you. Jump." The boy jumped because he trusted his father. The Christian faith enables us to face life and meet death, not because we can see, but with the certainty that we are seen. Not that we know all the answers, but that we are known. Faith is the insurer of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is choosing to make the choice, making the choice to believe in God Jesus. Paul, through this letter to the Romans, is telling the Jews and Gentiles that Jesus is the only way to salvation and eternal life. Putting your faith in Jesus is the only way to live for God. In fact, Jesus tells us this when he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14, verse 6. In this passage before us this morning, we see that the Apostle Paul knows his audience because he draws this letter back to what they would have known as he writes about the faith of Abraham. In Genesis 15, verse 6, it clearly states that Abraham believed God, and his faith, his trusting belief in God, was credited to him as righteousness, as being right with God. And then Paul introduces this word justified. What does it mean, justified? To justify, or justification, as we read in the word there, is God choosing to cover our past, our present, and our future sins with the blood of Jesus, and treating us as righteous, that is, right with God, as if we had never sinned at all. I love the way it was explained to me, justified. It says, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Through faith, justified through faith, our slate is wiped clean, if you like. We become, through faith in Jesus, we become a new creation. The old has gone, says 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It is gone, it's wiped away. Paul, addressing the Jews in Romans 4, talks about Abraham being justified not by works. God wasn't paying him back for something he'd done. No, Abraham was justified as God's gift to him through his faith. If it had been by works, then Abraham could have boasted about what he'd done. He could have said, "Well, look at me, look what I've done." But that wouldn't have brought any glory to God. You see, no one can be close to God, right with God, through works alone. No. The only way we can get close to God and be right with him is through faith. We can't earn forgiveness from God. It only comes through repentance. That's actually accepting that we've done wrong, turning around. That's what that word repentance means, to turn around. It comes through belief and faith. In verse 3, Abraham believed, had faith in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It's like God was saying, now you've got it. Now you're getting it. You've got it there. It's not about what you can do. It's about putting your faith in me. When it came to the Jews in Paul's day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as they're mentioned in the Gospels, they very much followed circumcision and the law. But it had become about doing for them. It had become about works, like following a set of rules to be close to God, to be right with God. But Paul, through the example of Abraham, is showing that it needs to be about faith, and faith alone. And for us today, actually nothing has changed. It is still about placing our faith in God Jesus and trusting Him, believing in Him no matter what, and being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The 18th century evangelist George Whitfield was once preaching to coal miners in England. And he asked the man, what do you believe? Well, I believe the same as the church. And what does the church believe? Well, they believe the same as me. Seeing that he was getting nowhere, Whitfield said, and what is it that you both believe? Well, I suppose the same thing, said the man. Friends, we must be sure of what we believe. Our faith must be in Christ Jesus. Just as the hymn says, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. In this passage of Romans, Paul is talking about being justified by faith and using the example of Abraham. But the Jews knew what they believed, about Abraham. And for many believed that Abraham was made righteous because he obeyed God by being circumcised. And Paul says, no, don't you see? God declared Abraham righteous for his faith long before he was circumcised. Abraham's obedience comes after faith. In fact, many years passed between the two events. Circumcision became a sign of Israel's faith in God and a seal of the righteousness God had already declared to Abraham. Paul's main emphasis here is to level the playing field. And he's saying, this is not about circumcision and who is or isn't circumcised. This is about faith and how Abraham's faith came first. How God justified him through his faith, crediting it to him as righteousness. Paul says, as he speaks to the Romans and to us, that faith comes through believing in Christ Jesus. But Jesus is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. He's the one who died for our sins. He's the one who took our place. He's the one who took the punishment that we deserve. The one who was sealed in the tomb, who was raised from the dead, and who's now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And they and we need to trust in him. A man fell off a cliff, but managed to grab hold of a tree branch on the way down. The following conversation ensued. Is anyone up there? I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe in me? Yes, Lord, I believe. I really believe. But I can't hang on much longer. That's all right. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Just let go of the branch. A moment of pause, and then Is anyone else up there? As I thought about this story, I was reminded of what the Methodist missionary to India, E. Stanley Jones, once said. Faith is not merely your holding on to God. It is God holding on to you. He will not let you go. I wonder, have you placed your faith in Jesus? Are you willing to live for Him and put your trust in Him? If you've answered yes in your heart, you've said yes, of course, and have believed, then let me tell you, you are justified by your faith. God chooses to see you as if you have never sinned. He has wiped the slate clean. How do we get to that? How can we have this type of faith? You know, I can tell you all about Jesus until I'm blue in the face. I can tell you about how he was born in the Nativity. I can speak about his teaching, tell you of his miracles, his dying on the cross, his resurrection. But at the end of the day, comes down to you. Comes down to, what are you going to do? Believe it for yourself or walk away? Say perhaps, you know, oh, I'll do it some other time. You know, I can't believe for you. It has to be your decision. You're saying, yes, Lord, I want you in my life. I don't want to do this anymore on my own. You see, Paul says that Abraham made this choice as he put his faith in God. He believed when God said that he would give him the land. All that you see, everything and everywhere you put your foot, that's the land I'm giving you. That's the promise. He believed God. He believed God when he said that he would become the father of many nations. He believed God when he said, you will have a son. Of course, there were obstacles to these promises. The most obvious was that Abraham and Sarah were very old. Abraham was said to be nearly 100. Sarah was nearly 90. Verse 19 says that Abraham's body was as good as dead and Sarah's womb was also dead. But Abraham still chose to believe and place his faith in God. And Paul is telling the Roman believers, Jew and Gentile alike, that God fulfills his promises. And they, like Abraham, need to believe this. And the biggest promise was that God would send a Messiah, a Savior, and he has come. He was God's one and only Son, Jesus. And Paul is saying, put your faith in Him. Allow your hope and faith to be built on Him. Nothing less than Him. Because He is the faithful one. Forget the law. Forget the law with all its rules and regulations and become like Abraham, who simply believed and was justified by his faith. Who simply believed. Simply believe. Is it really that simple? Yes, it is. With God, it is. It's only us who make it difficult. We put in all these obstacles. We say, oh, it's got to be more difficult than that. Do you know another way of the message? It's the paraphrased version of the Bible. Words, John 3, 16 to 18. Let me read it to you. It says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son, many to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help and put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. Yeah, it makes you stop and think, doesn't it? When worded like that. The question is, what will you do with this? Will you believe as you place your faith in Jesus? Will you continue to believe as you place your faith in Jesus? So that you can be like Abraham, justified through that faith. Just as if I'd never sinned. Forgiven. Made new. Slate wiped clean as you start a relationship with God Jesus. Or will you be like the man who fell over that cliff, hanging on to that tree branch and crying out, "Is there anyone else up there?" The answer to that is no. Jesus, just Jesus, who loves you and asks you to believe in him. Faith, that's what it's about. Believing in Jesus. All that he has done, all that he has gone to do, and the fact that he will never let you go. I want us to pray. I want to pray a prayer that is a prayer of receiving Jesus. And for all those who perhaps have not received him personally into your heart, I want you to pray this prayer. But I also want those, everyone who's here, to pray these words with me, as a recommitment to who we are in Christ and what our faith actually means to us. Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life to you and ask you to come in as my Savior and Lord. Take control of my life. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.